So let's move on and talk about some other targetable situations. And, you know, RET has been something that we've known about for a while, but when I talk to investigators, not too excited about targeted therapy until recently. I started to hear some really exciting stories, and it sounds like you've got one here with a 64-year-old lady.
Yeah, so the story here is, so this is a 64-year-old lady. She was diagnosed with metastatic lung cancer really within the last 8 months. She was diagnosed, she had a small brain metastasis in the frontal lobe. She had some bone metastases. She was a clinician herself. At the time, she just wanted to get started on therapy. She was out of state and just got started on platinum pemetrexed with her local team. And then during that first cycle, the rest of her genotyping came back and showed that there was a RET rearrangement. And so based on that, she sought me out. And when I saw her, you know, she had had a nice response to platinum pemetrexed after 2 cycles. And so we said, why don't we just complete 4 cycles of platinum pemetrexed and then reassess? She did that. And then due to just cumulative side effects, fatigue, things like that, we said, why don't we pull the trigger and pursue a RET-based strategy? You're exactly right that we've known about RET for some time now. These rearrangements were first discovered in late 2012, early 2013. We've seen that about 1-2% of lung cancer. They follow a lot of the same clinical and pathologic characteristics of EGFR and ALK. Namely, these patients tend to be, you know, never smokers. We see a lot of adenocarcinoma histology. When they were first reported, I think people recognized that many drugs out there target RET, but they weren't designed to hit RET. You know, these were multi-kinase inhibitors that had other targets. They just happened to also hit RET. And so what we saw in the subsequent years is a variety of repurposed drugs. You know, these weren't really selective RET inhibitors. And I think, not surprisingly, we didn't see robust response rates. You know, we saw response rates 20-30% in small studies. And it led to many discussions of, you know, is RET a true oncogenic driver? Many conversations like that. But the preclinical data would suggest that these were bona fide oncogenic drivers. We just needed better drugs. And so in the last year, year and a half, there have been 2 RET-selective inhibitors that have entered the clinic, BLU-667 and LOXO-292. And these are both drugs that were meant to be more RET-selective while minimizing a common off-target effect, which is VEGF inhibition, which has been a limitation of a lot of the other so-called RET inhibitors, these multi-kinase inhibitors. And this patient enrolled in a clinical trial of a selective RET inhibitor and had a very nice, you know, clinical response. I should say that, you know, at ASCO this past year, we saw data on LOXO-292. And in the dose escalation phase of that study, we saw a response rate of 77% among RET rearranged tumors, including non-small cell lung cancer. So very impressive response rate, especially when we think about dose escalation. BLU-667 has also shown a nice response rate of about 50%, also in dose escalation.
Just out of curiosity, of course, we've heard a lot about RET. There are a couple approved TKIs in thyroid cancer. Mm-hmm. Do these new drugs work there?
Yeah, great question. So in the LOXO-292 data that was, I would say in both studies, a majority of patients had received prior multi-kinase inhibitors. In the LOXO-292 study, about 66% of patients had received a prior kinase inhibitor. So it does look like these agents are able to overcome resistance to multi-kinase inhibitors.
Yeah, I guess the other issue is, when do these targeted therapies come into first line? You know, initially we saw trials like the IPASS study in EGFR disease, randomized against chemo. Then more recently, we saw the approval of the BRAF combination, which I'm going to ask you about in a second, without that kind of data that I was aware of. Do you think that we're just moving towards, I've heard people say if there's a response rate, you know, 60% or so, in the first line. It looks like it's following a typical targeted profile, just moving into first line. Do you think that's what's going to happen here?
I do. I think we need to stop doing clinical trials of chemotherapy versus targeted therapy if we've seen impressive results in the single-arm studies. I think patients don't like those studies. Oncologists don't like those studies. So I agree. I think if you see a response rate of 60% or greater, especially in a rare patient population like RET, where it's 1% to 2% of patients, it's just not feasible to do a randomized study compared to chemotherapy. And so for me, response rate 60% or higher, I would be perfectly comfortable using first-line RET TKI.
So what about tolerability of these new RET drugs? You know, the older ones, as you say, multi-kinase, you heard a lot of things about tolerability issues. How about these new ones?
Yeah, I would say as a clinician treating patients with the selective RET inhibitors, these appear much, much better tolerated than the old multi-kinase inhibitors such as cabozantinib, vindatinib. So we've seen much better safety profiles. In fact, if you look at the LOXO-292 data, very rare grade 3-4 events. Most of the toxicities were grade 1-2, and I would say that's really encouraging. And we're not seeing nearly as much of the VEGF effects with these selective RET inhibitors. I think the VEGF effects were really what has limited dosing with things like cabozantinib. And so we're seeing far less of the VEGF inhibition effects.